Hi, and welcome to Backstage at Architect Insight 2010. And it's a great delight to have Richard Verriard with me here. Richard is with Next Practice Research, which you can tell us a bit more about in a while. So Richard, thanks very much for joining us. And you've just done an interactive session here at Insight and around the subject of organizational intelligence. I think, first off, I guess a good question to start off is, what's organizational intelligence?
Let me start by talking about intelligence in people. We know what intelligent people are like. It isn't actually anything to do with IQ tests. IQ tests merely measure whether you can kind of do shapes on pieces of paper. But we know that some people can get incredibly high scores in IQ tests, but have no common sense at all, have no ability to kind of deal with the problems of real life. Mm. When we talk about intelligent people, we're usually talking about people who can understand what's going on around them, can pick up complexity in the environment, and have a way of thinking about it, reasoning about it, making sense of complexity, and responding to it intelligently, making mistakes, learning from the mistakes, moving on. All of that is what we call an intelligent person. And people who don't do that, we call them stupid. Even if they have incredibly high IQ scores, if they can't deal with real life, we call them stupid. Now, exactly the same principle applies, I think, to organisations. An organisation can ignore what's going on in the real world, outside, can blunder through making the same mistakes over and over again, can forget all the experience that it's had over however long it's existed, not innovate, and we can call that kind of organisation stupid. Right. Now, as it happens, organisations that may be packed with very brainy people, but if the brainy people don't talk to each other, and if they have not very good tools, and they don't collaborate, and so on, then the organisation can be stupid, even though the people are very clever.
Right.
So that raises the question, what is it that makes organisations stupid? Now, we can identify a lot of things, and in the workshop, I asked the people in the workshop, what were the kind of things that they observed? Or that they experienced in their own organisations that limited the intelligence of the organisations. And we talked about a number of things. We talked about cultural things where people just didn't want to work together, they didn't want to share. We talked about the fact that in some cases people might not want to improve if you're in a... If you think about the banks 5 years ago that were making huge amounts of money, there were voices within the banks that saying, we might have a problem here, there are some risks here, and effectively they were silenced. The banks collectively didn't want to hear the bad news, so they just went steaming ahead. Similarly with Enron. There were some serious problems with Enron's business model, which either nobody saw, or the people who actually saw preferred not to pay attention to. And so that either willful blindness or not wanting to look at what's really going on is a kind of stupidity. It results in stupid behaviour. And in the case of the banks and in the case of Enron, it's caused those organisations to crash and burn.
So I put that in a place of, you mentioned the word, but risk-taking or risk management, in a sense, maybe another way to look at it. Now, you know, maybe they took the risk and it didn't pay off in that situation, but we're all taking some sort of a view on our exposure to certain different changes in the market or in the environment. I wonder, how does risk management have a role to play in this? Surely it's not just stupidity. Or trying to ignore a problem, hoping it'll go away. But it's about, an organisation's intelligence is also its response to how it manages risk.
I think that's a good point. What we want is, in intelligence, we want somebody, this applies to people as well as organisations, intelligence is neither being kind of completely foolhardy and doing things that don't make sense, or on the other hand, being so scared of doing anything at all without calculating everything to the umpteenth degree that everything grinds to a halt. And that kind of procrastination can be a problem with people who are very brainy but actually don't have practical intelligence, don't have common sense, because they're not prepared to take any risk at all. They want to calculate everything when it's not possible to calculate.
And I suppose it's the response to risk, isn't it? It's the management. Yeah,
it's
the management part of
The intelligence in relation to...
So this is, to go back to the person, I got this idea of the nerve cells and the synapses are firing, but they're not linking up and the information is not flowing to the part of the body that needs to move away from heat or something like that.
Yeah.
So is this your world... or your definition for organisational intelligence, is it related to information flow and sharing?
Well, very much so.
Is that just one element?
Well, it's one important element of it. So if you think about Enron, Enron's a very interesting case. It's written up in Malcolm Gladwell's latest book. And what he says is that actually the evidence that Enron was in trouble was freely available. That the journalists who eventually worked it out, they didn't have to go and bribe employees to get secret information. All they had to do was sit at home with their laptops downloading PDFs from the company website. It was all available. All the data were there, but there was so much data that the difficulty wasn't finding the data, the difficulty was connecting the dots.
Right. Seeing the data that's important, presumably, out of the enormity of data that's there. Is that an element? So just to go back to organisational intelligence, so is there a definition for this? Do you have, what's your elevator pitch of what this means? Is it information sharing? Is it a level of maturity within an organisation? Or?
Well, I think there are six elements to organisational intelligence. Right. There's perception and monitoring, collecting information of what's going on both inside the organisation and outside. Secondly, sense-making, connecting the dots, understanding what's important, picking out the relevant patterns and seeing the big picture. Thirdly, decision-making, taking action, not procrastinating or rushing into things, but getting the right decisions at the right time. Fourthly, knowledge and memory, building up an experience of what's worked, what's not worked, and also being prepared to discard things from the past that are kind of no longer relevant. I mean, we've seen organisations that were successful in the past and just want to repeat that success, and they're not willing to let go of past successes in order to move towards future success. So, fifthly, organisational learning and development. Learning not only how to do things more efficiently, but also taking on new goals, taking on new vision, and developing new kinds of business. And finally, the whole area of collaboration and communication. How is all of this done collectively across the organisation?
Right. And what I hear there, that describes the value as well, doesn't it? So is the value of organisational intelligence, in a sense, that it's this continuous learning and improvement and feedback of lessons learned, but also a willingness to change. So I guess you've kind of answered my next question, where I was leading to for myself was, what's the value of this? And I think you've articulated that pretty well.
What's also clear is that for each of those six elements, there are technologies that will support that. And there will be vendors trying to sell Enterprise 2.0, process management, business intelligence. So there are pieces of technology that contribute to the organizational intelligence loop. But unless you have those all joined up, you're not going to get the intelligence as a whole working through. And what we've seen in a lot of, in some cases, very expensive projects is failed attempts to improve the organization by doing one of those in isolation. For example, knowledge management, we will create a knowledge base for the entire organization, and everybody will sit at home in their weekends typing all the things they know into the corporate knowledge base, and it doesn't happen. Large amounts of money are being wasted on these projects because they haven't been thought through. And this is why I think this is important for architects.
Right,
because what architects should be masters of is how do all of these pieces join up to make an integrated solution for the enterprise as a whole.
No, and I can absolutely see that. It was interesting you were saying that there's technologies that support these, as you call them, pillars, sorry.
Elements,
or
whatever
right.
you want to call them.
And then you mentioned Enterprise 2, which I'm sure many vendors would like it to be a product. Here's your Enterprise 2 customer, thank you very much, and it will cost you this much. But we all know that it's an ism, it's a thing, it's a loosely defined set of elements itself, potentially. I guess it probably fits closer to your definition of organizational intelligence, perhaps, trying to achieve the same goal, perhaps. The new enterprise is one that's living, breathing, intelligent, maybe. So I think that, but you say there's products and technologies that may fit into some of them, but to do one in isolation or do it as a project, let's go and do some BI or let's do, it's an enterprise wide piece of work, I get that sense. And in essence, it brings me back to the SOA kind of world. It seems to me it's sort of part of the same thing because that's suffered from project mentality.
Of course.
You know, SOA doesn't work if it's within a project context. It's got to be an enterprise-wide led initiative. And I think there's kind of similarities I can see there in terms of making the organization more adaptive, agile, intelligent. I think there's a lot of parallels there. The project sort of mentality and the products not being fit or rich enough perhaps is one of the barriers. What are the are they the only barriers, or what can an architect do to start to, if they're thinking about enterprise level architectures and looking at sort of the future of their sort of service orientation and investments in that space, how can they help the business to become more intelligent in that sense? What's the role of the architect here? Because you started that, so I think
I'm talking to one client at the moment that's got a very large project to move towards an event-driven architecture, and what I'm trying to encourage is to see that event-driven architecture as part of an intelligence loop.
Well, this is, once again, back to that problem that why do you want an event-driven architecture?
Well, the problem is, actually...
What are you trying to solve?
The problem is that unless they can connect this event-driven architecture to business benefit, they're going to have problems.
So are businesses talking about organisational intelligence?
No, they're not.
And I think that's then?
I'm talking about
it. Oh, absolutely.
Do you think the
architects need to be pushing out to the business, or is it discussion that business needs to be, businesses are happy with the Enterprise 2.0 thing because they know it doesn't, you can't translate it to anything tangible. I guess they're trying to make sure their business is more agile and responsive and more intelligent. So is this a message that would play or should play well to the business?
Well, I think, yes, I think, because there are a number of organisational and business trends and movements that fit very nicely with what an ISIT group can contribute. I think as a lens for understanding the potential benefits of Enterprise 2.0 or event-driven architecture or whatever other technological initiative you may be planning, if you can connect those technological initiatives into a larger organisational initiative and show how the working practices and the organisation structures can be changed in a complementary fashion to the technological change to achieve the desired business benefits, then that makes it much more likely to succeed, much more likely to achieve business benefits. And frankly, I think the traditional role of the CIO of providing information systems is starting to look a bit dated. And if the CIO's job is merely to buy services off the cloud and buy application systems from certain large application providers, then he's just a glorified purchasing clerk.
I think
the I in CIO isn't just information, it's intelligence. And if the CIO becomes the chief intelligence officer and starts to be responsible for how does this organization use information and intelligence intelligently to achieve its business goals, then that's a very good thing for a CIO to achieve and a very useful contribution that the CIO can make.
I agree with those sentiments, and I like the idea of I'd like to meet one, maybe, a chief intelligence officer. No, intelligence, I guess. I'm still a bit stuck on this Enterprise 2.0. So could you clarify to me what that means and who uses the phrase? Does anybody like the phrase out there in the world? Who's using Enterprise 2? What does it mean? And what purpose is it serving? So is it the business come up with a phrase, or is it, what does it mean? What is an Enterprise 2.0?
I'm not the one pushing the Enterprise 2.0 jargon.
But that's my problem, is that it's a phrase that has no meaning, right?
It's a phrase that has many different meanings, depending on which blog you read.
Yeah, that's right. So that might be good for some people. And what I like about what you're saying here, I think what you're saying to my mind, my simple way of looking at things, I think you're saying organizational intelligence, right? I think is what Enterprise 2.0 means, right?
Should be.
Should mean. Yeah. Absolutely. And if it was OI, and I think it would potentially sits better with a business because it's about what they're trying to achieve. We want our organization to be more intelligent.
But I think Enterprise 2.0 starts from the wrong place. It starts from saying there's all this new technology on the web, Facebook, Google, cloud, blah-de-blah-de-blah, and how can we fit that into the enterprise? Whereas I'm starting from the other perspective. What is it that the enterprise, the business, actually needs to be a viable, sustainable business? Oh, and by the way, there's some interesting technologies here that may contribute to that. Yeah.
Absolutely, you know, and that's why I like what you're saying. I'm completely agreeing with what you're saying. I despise this sort of other term because I'm not sure ever when I'm talking to someone, it's a bit like cloud. It depends who you're talking to, what it means. So it's got some value, but it also gets in the way of actually getting down to the point of what are you trying to achieve? And so often, phrases just get in the way. Let's go and do Enterprise 2.0 because that's the thing to do. Let's do Service Oriented Architecture because that's the next thing to do. Let's do EDA because that's the next thing to do. Whereas, no, let's go and make our organization more intelligent, more competitive. Okay, now how do we do that? Okay, maybe EDA. It'll be
a combination of things.
It's all of those things. I think that's my big learning for the day is really, if we look at architecture and the business today, it's about certainly not throwing away what we've got, building on what we've got, but refocusing against what our objectives are. And I think often it seems historically we've lost sight of what we're doing, and maybe the current economy and the climate we're in has started to change the lens, so the organizations are naturally trying to become more intelligent?
I think that's inevitable, that they will have to become more intelligent.
If they're not, then they won't. They will be like a dinosaur. They'll die out. Yes. Well, that was fantastic. I think that great conversation. So thanks very much for your time. I guess if there's anything that to leave the viewers with, where would you suggest they go? I know that you're involved in maybe writing a book at the point of time.
I'm writing a book on organisational intelligence.
Fantastic.
Which I will go home and write another chapter of, hopefully. In the meantime, I've been putting stuff on my blog, demandingchange.blogspot.com. So please read my blog, follow me on Twitter, and you'll be the first to find out when the book comes out.
Fantastic. Well, it's been a pleasure, and I hope you had a great day at Insight, and certainly you've given us some insight. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Matt.